You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Six months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. Eight teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Who's the biggest guest that we've had on Mystery Crate?
That's a great question. Recently. We had the Frisbee guy.
Recently.
The Frisbee guy.
We had the Frisbee guy.
Disc guy.
Frisbee golf. Chris Cody, you said, like, if you were a real athlete, what athlete would you want to be?
He's like, no, I was like, what athlete. Sport did you actually want to play growing up?
Damn.
There's nothing like a Chris Cody question.
No, but he said baseball. Like, I was right. I remember him saying another sport. Like, nobody grows up and they're like, oh, someday I'm going to be a Frisbee player.
I think he's the biggest get we've had.
All right. He does not sniff the jock strap of who we got today. Why are we sniffing jock straps?
Well, why would you want to?
That's the point, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, sure. It needs cleaning.
But
yeah.
Wouldn't it be you couldn't feel his jock strap?
Hell yeah.
Right.
You couldn't sniff his jock strap.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Welcome to Mystery
Crate. I can't do either.
Oh,
yeah.
Welcome to Mystery Crate. And the reason why Chris Cody is hyping up the guest we have is because there is a major sporting event happening this weekend. You might think we're in the middle of July. You might think it's NBA free agency.
Mm-hmm.
It's not NBA free agency. No. It's definitely not baseball that's going on. I would argue it's the MLS that's going on this weekend. But no,
hey, man.
Even
definitely
above not. The MLS going on this weekend, it is the hot dog eating contest.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And ahead of the hot dog eating contest, we have Sir Joey of Chestnut.
Yes.
Sir Joey of Chestnut.
Sir Joey of Chestnut.
Are you serious,
is
dude?
Joining us on the program
just say
today.
His name.
No.
We will get
no
to him in a moment. But Tony, he's not the only guest we have on today. Who else do we have on today's episode?
That's right. Another big weekend. It's actually the 10th UFC fight week. We've got a huge card, UFC 276. We're going to have Sugar Sean O'Malley later on in the show after Joey Chestnut. He's one of the biggest personalities in MMA right now. There may or may not be a bet that I copy his hairstyle if he knocks out his opponent this weekend.
Mm.
I don't know. It's crazy things.
So a lot of fighters named Sugar, right? Like, you got two in MMA. I know you got two in boxing.
Yeah, we got... I don't know if there's anybody else named Sugar in MMA.
Rashad Evans.
You're my candy.
Rashad Evans.
Girl.
Yeah, I thought you meant current.
And no, all-time. All-time.
All-timer, yeah. All right. It seems like a good nickname for a fighter, Sugar.
Yeah, I guess so.
I presume it's because a lot of fighters are described as sweet, aren't they? That's probably where it comes from.
Sweet pea.
Sweet science.
Tino Whitaker.
Boxing, yeah.
The sweet science.
Yeah.
Without further ado,
let's go.
Here's Joey Chestnut. About as big of a guest as we could possibly have ahead of the 4th of July.
Yes.
Because on the 4th, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest is back from Coney Island. The contest returns to the historic, I love this sentence, the historic corner of Surf and Stillwell in Coney Island, where tens of thousands of fans
Goosebumps.
Make the annual pilgrimage to join Nathan's in celebrating Independence Day. And the guest we have on is none other than Joey Chestnut, who a year ago set a world record by eating 76 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes. I presume, Joey, you're going for 77 this year.
I'm doing whatever it takes to get the win, and I'm hoping I can get the new world record, too.
Yeah.
Now, can you actually eat 100 in one of these, but you're just, like, doing – you're like, steadily going up. You're breaking your record by one every year, so you have more – because if you ate 100, it's like, shit, I can't eat more than that. So if you just do it – if you break your record barely every time, you can, like, really draw this thing out.
No, I'm really pushing as hard as I can every time. You know, the one way you could get me closer to 100 is if somebody else is eating in their 90s. If the competition came up, I would have to do it. I'd find a way. But I'm pushing as hard as I can. There's weather conditions. There's hot dog conditions. Mm-hmm. I'm doing as much as I can to push it.
How do you like them cooked?
I like them cooked well done. So the grease, they're spitting grease. A hot dog that's undercooked is no fun to eat. It's a little bit rubbery, but a hot dog that's good, really cooked well, it's just juicy and it's delicious.
Joey, do you eat hot dogs at any other point during the year? Like, do you just eat hot dogs for fun? Like, you're at a barbecue and you're like, hey, let me get a couple hot dogs. Like, I'm good.
I love them. No, I really do. If I'm at a baseball game, I'm eating hot dogs.
Yeah.
If I'm at a barbecue, I'm judging people. If they have some, you have to have an all beef hot dog, and I love them. And that makes it easy for me even in the contest. It's easier for me to eat a ton of food that I like.
Is there a pressure when you're eating a hot dog in a non-competitive setting? Like, do people look at you and go, "Oh, you're doing the thing"? Doing the thing, like, are you gonna dunk it in water? Dog. Like, are people surprised you eat a hot dog without dunking it in water?
Yeah, if I'm at a baseball game and I have a beer in one hand and a hot dog in the other, they're expecting me to dunk the beer. people are, people think I'm always competitive mode, but I do enjoy a hot dog just like everybody else, or most people, and I have the ability to slow down.
What type of adjustments have you had to make either over the course of your career or in mid tournament that you have to make when your body says, I can't go anymore?
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, older. I'm 38 now. When I started, I was 21. I remember when I started, I could do practices every third day. I could eat, have a couple of days off, recover, and then eat again. There's no way I could do it every third day. It's probably every sixth day. It takes, otherwise I'll gain weight. I'll start, if I gain weight or getting winded during the contest. So I have to practice less. I have to know my body more. As far as during the contest, there are times where if it's a cold day or it's windy, everything gets colder and a little bit rubbery. So I have to chew a little bit less. I have to swallow bigger chunks during those contests when the hot dogs are cold. So I always have to be ready for whatever comes and be ready to eat.
Joey, there's been a big debate in the hot dog community about what toppings you can put on your hot dog. Some people say that you can't put ketchup on your hot dog. Some people say you can only put mustard. I think we've had this debate internally with the boys around here. For me, I love ketchup on a dog and I like spicy mustard. Is that weird? What's your go-to condiment?
It's a little weird that you like both of them. it's all right. I'm not big on ketchup. A lot of people, I find ketchup a little bit too sweet for a hot dog, but I do love spicy mustard and raw onions on a hot dog or sauerkraut. Mm. Oh my God. Those are great. Also, I eat so many hot dogs. I don't need to add any more calories from ketchup. Mustard is no calories. I have no problem adding a ton of that on.
Joey, you mentioned something earlier, and I wanted to follow up with a couple of questions. You said one, weather conditions. What are the weather conditions that would affect you during a hot dog eating contest?
Oh, yeah. But if it's super hot, Coney Island has the ability to get really hot and humid and oppressive heat. And if that happens, numbers are going to go down. There's no way around it. I'm sweating way ridiculously before the contest starts. The hot dog, the people cooking hot dogs, they're sweating, so they're probably undercooking the hot dogs. The buns get really stale when it's super hot like that. So the weather, super hot conditions, it can affect it. Also, if it gets cold, sometimes the Coney Island gets thunderstorms and it things get wet. If the hot dogs get cold and they're rubbery, that slows us down. So the weather, I mean, perfect weather is like 80 degrees, fairly sunny. You're not going to get that very often.
Yeah.
So And then there's the audience. So this is the, like you said, this is the first year it's back at Coney Island. So we have a big audience and pushing me hard.
From the current AccuWeather forecast, seems like you're in for feels like 88 on the day of the 4th of July. So it's a little warm. The other thing you mentioned that I wanted to pick up on was hot dog conditions. Now, you've mentioned some of the ways in which the weather affects hot dogs. And you talked about the kind of hot dogs you like. But is there anything else you refer to when you say it depends from a world record-breaking standpoint, the hot dog conditions? What are the ideal ways in which hot dogs can be prepared for you to set another world record?
Yeah, the hot dogs, like I said, I noticed that when it's really hot, the people cooking the hot dogs, they want to get done quickly. So they're undercooking them a little bit. They're not going to be quite as well cooked. The oil's not going to be it's not going to be as oily. So if hot dogs are undercooked, it'll be rough. It'll be a little bit harder. But also the warm weather, it'll help. It'll help keep things warm. I think the warm weather should help keep the hot dog warm and tasty. And that's what it comes down to. Good food is always easier to eat, and I'll eat more of it.
Go through your game day preparation.
Shit before or after?
Oh, okay. Waking up at 5 a.m. Wait, day of stretch. I'll drink my last water. I'll drink about a gallon of water and I'll count how many gulps it takes to drink it. Get the muscles in my throat really loose and stretched. And that'll be the last water I drink. I'll drink a little bit of coffee throughout the day, but I'll do some stretching exercises like yoga to make sure that the muscles and everything from my throat all the way down to my abdomen are stretched and loose and ready. And then I'm gonna surround myself with people that I love. I have a couple of family members and friends. And we're gonna joke around and get happy. Get happy, and I'll be loose and hungry. Come noon, I'll be ready to eat.
What if an asshole? Like, what if someone you hate walks in the room? Like, will that like affect your performance throws negatively?
Up vibes.
I try to be no negative energy.
Say not today. Get the hell out of here. My day.
Even if it happens, it happens.
So are we?
It's 4th of July. I'm happy.
Are you pooping?
I can deal with it.
Are we pooping before, after, or both? What's the strategy?
Man, I'm hoping I'm cleaning house before the contest. I'm completely empty. And then afterwards, right around the time fireworks are going off in New York, I'm having my own explosions. I'll be recovering that way.
You don't just do hot dog contests. Favorite contest do you like to participate in?
Oh my God, I have like 53 different world records. So I have everything from pork ribs to like taco, chicken wings. Chicken wings are always a great contest.
You ate 182 chicken wings.
Yeah.
182. That's crazy.
Yeah, one time
in 30
Hooters,
minutes.
I did 415 for Hooters one time. And that was ridiculous.
There's got to be controversy on like whether the wing is fully eaten or not.
Oh, he eats the wing. Let's be serious.
But my point is have you ever been done with a competition and somebody may have competed with you and you're looking over and you're like, they barely ate half those wings.
You're absolutely right. So some people, some people's technique, they try to go through as many wings as possible. But to get over that, they weigh all the food before and after. So they know exactly what the amount of food we've eaten.
Does it matter?
There's no trickery.
Does it matter what sauce is on the wings during these contests?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So tasty sauce. If it's too spicy, all that spice is, they build up.
Yeah.
But like during the wing contest, especially, I mean, it's a very physical, after the contest. And, so if they're really spicy, it's going to hurt more. It's one of those things. They have to be tasty and have to be, good. But it's not too spicy that it hurts you.
So Joey, this show is based out of Miami and I'm Cuban. So a delicacy for me in the mornings are croquetas, right? We have those for breakfast here in Miami. And I'm looking down.
He just perked up, Tony. He just started smiling when you said croquetas.
Because he knows the deal is he had 185 of them, which I don't know if I've had 185
I feel
this
fat
year.
After a half a croqueta.
Those things are so damn, and they're only in that area. They're so good. Yes. And so I feel like that is the only contest I've gone to, and I didn't taste the beforehand. I was like, oh, it sounds good, like deep fried mashed potatoes with ham in there. It's like legit. And so I got to the contest and I smelled the food. I was like, oh my god, this is gonna go down. But it was the only time the first time I ate it was in the contest, and wow, I broke the record. And I absolutely love them.
You broke a record the first time you ever ate an item? That is insane, dude. You're good at this eating thing.
It's the only time I've ever done it.
I wanted to ask Joey, like on that kind of subject, how do you get better at this? Like, is there room for innovation here, or is it just understanding completely what it takes to eat an extraordinary amount of food in a short space of time? Like, just that continual under, like, where is the innovation happening here?
Oh, there's a bunch of things. When I was younger, I put in a lot of work to exercise the muscles. Certain muscles in your throat and esophagus, they get tired. So I've learned there's burping exercises I do to keep those strong. When those muscles get tired, that's when you start feeling nauseous. So I put a lot of work into exercising certain muscles. And I find ways to push harder, whether it's capacity or speed training. I push it. And then there's a tolerance. Certain foods I'm naturally good at. Other foods, it takes a little bit more energy to get good at them.
I don't want to put you on the spot here, but I would just be honored if you could like walk us through a quick burping exercise.
Can you do it on command? Okay.
So. Yeah, usually I'm lying down. I'm using my head also, but I'm counting how many gulps.
Very good. Wow. Very good.
I'll do that every time. I'm holding my breath.
It's good burp.
I'm doing it. I'll do more gulps the next time. The bigger burp. So it's very. And then getting these muscles just used to working quick.
It didn't work for me.
But I'm actually swallowing it.
Oh, you're swallowing. Oh, gotcha. I thought it was just breathing.
Would you like to take over the mantle for Man versus Food?
Ooh. Oh, my God. I don't think I could. Adam Richman, he's an awesome dude. He's actually he's really charismatic. All I do is eat well. I'm not that charismatic. And so I don't think I could do that. I think people will be bored watching me.
Don't sell yourself short, man.
Yeah, don't sell yourself short, Joey. Yeah, come on.
Do you
imagine he eats those 10-pound burgers? You eat that in one bite.
Yeah. Oh my! I would like to go around the world and do it. Go to other countries and eat a full menu item, a full menu or restaurant.
Do you get tired of talking about food? Like, what would you? What's something else you'd want to talk about? Like, baseball? What else are you into?
Dude, I used to have a real job in construction management where all I would do is talk about money and change orders, and everybody would be angry, and I'd be like, oh, you're behind schedule, you're not getting paid. And now I talk about food and everybody's happy.
But there's
I don't get tired about talking about food.
There has to be a point where you're like, if one more person asks me if a hot dog is a sandwich, I'm going to punch them in the ear. Admit it, Joey.
It's just going to be standard. Like, a hot dog is not a sandwich. They should know. Yes. If you can call a hot dog a sandwich, then you're going to try to call a taco a sandwich.
Yeah.
It's just let it be a hot dog. Let it be taco. You don't have to.
What a pro. Pro's pro. I said, are you tired of that question? And you just were like, you know what? I'm going to answer it.
How many times have you answered that question? Over, under 200?
Oh, quite a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, it's more than 100. But it's like I said, it's not that hard of a question compared to other the things that I used to have to do.
What is the most boring question that you field regularly?
Oh, the most boring. Oh,
did Tony ask it when he asked you what toppings you like on your hot dog?
He eats them plain, though. He's got to eat them plain for the tournament. So, I mean, I want to see Joey Chestnut with a nice, you know, a nice collared shirt hanging out at a barbecue, I want to see what he's putting on his dog.
Oh, yeah. If I'm at a barbecue, it's mustard and raw onions. If they have bacon and cheese and chili, I'll mess around with that.
You'll indulge, yeah.
But my go-tos are just the simple onions and mustard. But I don't know what question gets old. I think what's
Maybe the pooping questions. The pooping questions.
Even though they don't get a necessary goal because different contests have different endings.
It's not gonna, which food has the best worst ending?
Oh, the worst is bratwurst.
Oh.
Bratwurst.
Oh, God.
It's pure meat and it's fat. And then they add more fat into bratwurst, I think. It's a rough contest. My body is like, there's been times where, like, oh my God, my body is, it's unhappy. And where after, like, before they even announce the winner, my stomach is just like, it's moving things.
Ugh. Which contest is a walk in the park? You could run a marathon after.
Chicken wings. Chicken wings are always
really
chicken wings and ribs. The bone gets in the way, so it slows. I'm never full, and then I can digest chicken. Like, oh, it's just it's made for a human body. I think it's one of the few. It's just so easy to digest.
Is there a food that you don't usually see in a competitive eating contest that you would like to compete in?
Yeah. Some like celery or some shit.
Oh, what do I want? I've never done. There's not enough seafood. I want to do some sort of sushi or maybe even king crab in a contest. And that'd be really, really awesome.
To Chris's point about maybe it being celery, like, is there anything that like eaten in that much amount would just be an incredibly healthy thing for you to do? Or if you just entered a kale eating hot dog just to clean cleanse the palate?
Some fiber.
One time I did a kale eating.
Oh, wow.
And it was just kale salad with a lemon dressing. And it was super, it was like raw kale is really hard to eat fast. I got my butt kicked at it. The guy from Nigeria beat me. And he just dominated. He was eating the kale like it was nothing. And I was like, this stuff is terrible.
Do you enter any contest competitively that you don't like the food? Or do you just kind of blow by it because you're a pro and you're like, I'm going to do whatever I got to do?
Usually I'll look at the contest. If it's so, there's two different, like, if it's a, like, sometimes casinos, they prepare food really bad. There's a different, you know, food I don't like or I'm not familiar with versus a food that they're just going to do a really bad job with. So, like, a casino, they're notorious for doing a bad job with food. They don't make the food very well. So I'm sometimes I won't go to their contest if it's like a weird, like they did what is that? Bull testicle contest one, casino did it.
Rocky Mountain.
You haven't lived, Joey, until you.
And I didn't trust them to make it right. And so, and then I heard the contest that they're all undercooked and veiny.
Oh,
and I was like, yes, I'm so
veiny.
To go to that contest.
Oh my God.
They're eating some veiny testicles.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So. But usually the sponsor that they're trying to make the food good, I'm gonna go to the contest.
What's the technique for eating chicken wings that quickly?
I thought you were gonna ask for the veiny testicles.
Oh, it's not. Yeah. I don't have that technique down. No, the chicken wings.
This guy gets it.
I'm twisting them a little bit. Twist the tube, strip them, and I go on to the next one. It's a very pushing against my face really hard, so it's not the same technique as in a restaurant. But for contests, it's twist, go, and then the drums, I'm rolling.
Oh, I was about to say, is it just flats? But you just answered that. What technique do you do with drums? You said roll it.
Yeah, the drums are rolling.
Like a corn on the cob.
Is there a food you can eat the least of? Oddly, you like all these foods you can crush, but you put a rack of ribs in front of you, you can't get through it.
Oh, is there? That I just can't eat.
Yeah, like just like something that you're like, man, it fills me up. Pasta. I have like half a serving and I'm just bloated.
Brisket.
Oh, no.
He's like, what are you, fucking idiot?
Brisket.
If I like the food, like if I like it, I want to eat a lot of
like
it.
Like I'm Joey it's fucking kind of,
it's,
Chestnut.
It's a curse.
I'm sorry, I made it weird.
Like if they're...
Joey, I feel like me and you would be friends. I feel like you and I, if like we met, it'd be like, yo, we should hang out more often. You don't agree. All right. Good talking to you, Joey. Thank you.
So embarrassing. Just so embarrassing. I'm sorry,
next
Joey.
Time you come to Miami, we'll all take you off for croquetas. You and Chris Cody can become best friends.
Yes.
Deal?
And the fucking Cuban coffee. That's awesome. Let's go.
Drinking contest.
I'll Cuban coffee you. I bet you I could drink more of those Cuban coffees than you. Let's go. You don't want none.
That would be a rough one to eat a lot, drink a lot of. Yeah, well, let's go to town.
I've had 72 in an hour.
So right to the toilet. That.
He would
He'd
die.
Be dead, yeah. Joey Chestnut will be participating in the hot dog eating contest from Coney Island from 11 a.m. on the 4th of July, an Let's annual go, tradition.
Go get him, Joey.
Let's go, champ.
Joey Chestnut looking to set another world record. We're talking to a major athlete on the eve of a major sporting event. Joey Chestnut, we very much appreciate the time and this very important time of the year for you.
Thank you. You guys take care.
6 months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA play-in tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. 8 teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA play-in tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
I wonder how many chestnuts Joey Chestnut could eat in one sitting. We should have asked him.
We left that question on the table.
Chestnuts, by the way, overrated.
It could be allergic.
I agree.
I don't even know the flavor profile of a chestnut.
I don't eat. It's basically, I know the song Chestnuts Roasting. And then, like, I think one year my dad's like, by the way, at our coffee table, those are chestnuts right there. It's just a big nut that you got to crack with, like, one of those handle thingies.
Right. So it was like a walnut.
Tea.
It's a bit nutty.
Okay.
It's a bit nutty.
Mm-hmm.
A pecan flavor now.
What's your favorite nut, Roy?
Damn. Hey, cashew.
All right. Well, why is everybody laughing? I was just asking Roy if we
one bust. That I bust.
And there he is. Yeah, Lewis, everybody.
Yeah.
From Joey Chestnut, we go to previewing the UFC fight card this weekend with Sugar Sean O'Malley.
Hell yeah.
Big fight coming up, big card coming up, UFC 276, Izzy Adesanya versus Jared Cannonier in fight week in Vegas, the 10th one, and there was nobody else that I wanted to talk to on this card other than the man we have in front of us right now, the GOAT right now in the making, Sugar Sean O'Malley. Sean, was good, my brother.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, it's going good. You know, I'm obviously not the main event, but I feel like the main event. You know, we're 20 hours away from weigh-in. So, you know, you're not getting me at the most energized, the most calorie. It's been a long couple of days, but I'm happy to be here. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. It's cool to see. We were talking before, and I used to be one of Ariel Helwani's producer, the GOAT in MMA media. I was one of his producers back when we were at ESPN, and I remember us talking before shows and stuff, like, man, this kid Sean O'Malley out of – you know, Phoenix, he's fighting, you know, everybody's kicking ass, whatever. And just to see the way that you've come up through the UFC and the ability that you have to just put people on their asses has been really cool to watch, man, because I really mean it, like GOAT in the making. Like, you're 15-1. I think you're the best bantamweight there is right now. I think you're the biggest draw in bantamweight. Like, I don't know of anybody else. I know you were talking in the pressers earlier saying you could put me against anybody. And the point is, I'm going to sell. Like, I don't know if anybody else will sell, but I'm going to sell. Like, how does it feel to move up right now where you're, like, really calling your shots at bantamweight?
Yeah, it feels good. I mean, I can go back all the way to the Contender Series before I was in the UFC. And I basically said all of this was going to happen. I'm going to continue to knock people out. I'm going to continue to become a star. And I'm going to say, again, I'll be bigger than Conor McGregor. It feels good. Everything's just going perfectly. And I think this is another perfect fight. Pedro Munhoz, top 10 guy. Very tough, never been finished. So for me to go out there and put his lights out would be massive. My following would be huge. I'd get a lot of respect from a lot of different fighters, which I'm necessarily not too worried about. I think the top guys understand my skills. They see that I'm a legitimate fighter. Some people still look at me as, like, you know, the crazy hair, the crazy whatever. But yeah, after this fight, I think it's going to change a lot of people's minds.
Yes, sir. What's the walkout song for this fight?
Ooh,
the most important question. I would get the most important question out of the way. What song should I be blasting at home right before you come out?
I never say which one I'm walking out to. I always let that just happen. I did already tell him what walkout song. It's going to be a banger. It's already been a banger, but I think it's going to fit perfect. I haven't walked out to it yet. You just have to either get the pay-per-view or be there live, and you'll hear it.
Hey,
speaking of the pay-per-view, make sure to get it, ESPN+/pay-per-view. Make sure you go out and get that. We'll be putting out that link later on today so you can support the team. Sugar, we have so we're part of DraftKings. As you can see, Juju's wearing the shirt, repping the team. We got a parlay boost, and the first person, so Juju's the one that hits me. Yo, what do you think of this fight? I'm like, only guy that I want in that parlay. Obviously, we picked Izzy, we picked Volk. I was like, we need Sugar. Just put him on. I don't care what's going to happen. I know he's going to go for the KO. I know he's going to finish Munoz. Like, that's it. So I was telling Juju, yes, earlier today, I was like, yo, what if we do this? What if we put a bet on the line right now? If Sugar knocks out Munoz at any point in the fight, I'll copy Sugar's hair with the cornrows, with the color. And he told me, sir, sure you want to do that? And I'm like, I believe in him.
Yes, sir. I believe in him too. That's why I know you're gonna dye your hair. It's gonna happen, brother.
Hey, I think you'll like it, honestly. I think you'll like it. I think you'll like it. You probably won't go back. I haven't, ever since I dyed my hair probably 3 years, 4 years ago, I haven't had my natural hair color. You know, it'll fade out and it'll just be like a light fade. But yeah, I haven't been back. So I think you might like it.
What led you to that? You were just like one day, like, fuck it, I'm just gonna dye my hair.
Honestly, I was kind of inspired by it. Like the 6'9" hair color. I just liked how it looked. I thought it was sick. I thought, you know, I seen he was getting a lot of attention, and I was like, okay, well, I'm doing a big pay per view. It's gonna be fight week. How can I draw people's attention to me? Let's make my hair rainbow colored, and it just kind of started from there. And now it's its own thing. You know, matching the merch with it, matching the Lamborghini with it. It's
come just on,
hey,
talk to him.
Its own thing.
Hey. Talk to him. Matching the Lambo with it.
Exactly.
The merch went first, and there's a Lambo top. Second. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that shit helped. That shit helped when your hair matched the Lambo. You know what I mean? Ain't too much nobody can say about that shit there. So when you in the ring, okay, this is what I always want to know. You in the ring, it's round 2.5. And all of a sudden you get a big shot and the crowd start chanting your name. Does that do something for you, or is that like white noise? You know what I mean?
It's a good question. I think it's more white noise. It's I'm a patient killer. I'm going to hurt him. And I know he's most dangerous. Like Cody Garbrandt rocked Pedro. Pedro was stumbling around and Cody ran in and ended up getting knocked out. So for me, I'm going to crack Pedro multiple times, and I'm going to have to decide whether that one's the time to try to put his lights out and really finish him, or to just continue to be patient and just trust that the next shot will put his lights out. So the crowd can get into it. I think it depends on the fighter, but for me, it's kind of like white noise.
How do you feel when you're about to walk out from the tunnel and you got the team around you and you hear that music? What's the feeling? Do you feel anything anymore, or is it just you're such a warrior at this point that you're like, all right, let's get to work?
Yeah, right before I walk out, I feel just very calm, just very prepared, and just there's no other feeling. I mean, I don't want to be excited. I want to conserve my energy. 15 minutes, I want to make sure I have 15 minutes of good hard push. So very calm. You know, I had a good warm up, break a little sweat, but the emotions going through my body, I'm calm, ready to kill.
You know, it always made me laugh when y'all get to the ring, y'all give y'all last goodbyes to your homeboys. And then the man, he starts frisking y'all with your shirt off now, as if you got a weapon somewhere within here. That always killed me. I'm like, what does he got in there, dude, bro? Salute to you, though.
I think they're checking to see if you have extra, checking for a gun or something. I don't know.
Exactly.
How does it feel to fight in Vegas? Is that like the Mecca? Is that
Vegas?
Where would you rather fight? Is Vegas, is that it?
This is it. Vegas is my ninth UFC fight, which will be my 10th fight in a row in Vegas. So I feel like I'm fighting at home.
The Vegas boy, come on.
I love Vegas.
Speaking of fighting at home.
Yeah.
Speaking of fighting at home, when was your first fight as a person? Just as what was your first fight ever?
Not even professional, right? Just like in like
16 years old, I did like 4 kickboxing matches, a couple boxing matches. And then once I turned 18, we were allowed to do MMA. So right when I turned 18, I did an MMA fight, and then I had 14 amateur MMA fights. And, you know, so I've been fighting for 11 years, well over 30 fights, and it's been good. I feel like it's all that's led up to this moment, and just, it's been perfect timing.
So nobody ever just try you at the bar, like, oh boy, he don't look like he can fight. Look at him, he got that pink cap, man. Nobody ever tried you like that.
Honestly, no. And for the most part, like, everyone likes me for, like, you know, mm-hmm. what you see on Instagram, sometimes people talk shit, but out in public, no one's talking shit. Everyone's trying to get pictures and, you know, I've never really had any issues with people trying to confront me.
Amen.
Outside of the ring, what's the thing that brings you the most happiness? Because I know you're always doing stuff like YouTube channels popping off, Twitch is popping off, cannabis is popping off. Like, what's the thing for you that's like, outside of the ring, this brings me the most joy?
Yeah, outside the cage, I really enjoy hopping on business calls and being a part of all my brand deals. So doing stuff like that is really fun for me. Also, I have a 1.5-year-old daughter. So being around the family, you know, I'm just a family guy. I really like home every night. You know, wake up, train, stream. We'll shoot some YouTube content, shoot a podcast, hop on a business call, you know, pretty much just, you know, my routine's what makes me happy. Just having a good routine.
The fact that you can fit so much in, right? Like, I feel like is what differentiates you from a lot of fighters, because right. a lot of fighters go home, they train, they eat, they sleep, everything to be in the cage. And you're like, no, man, like, it almost looks like you see fighting more than just fighting. Like, this shit is, once you're done, you're going to be set up for the rest of your life with all the shit that you got going on. So, like, that's great. We might have to get some merch down here for us. Like, what's up?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, right. 100%. The merch, I've been selling t-shirts since I was 16 years old when I first started kickboxing. Like, so for me to get into the merch game and be as successful as it has been, I think just shows genuine. It's not just like trying to make money. It's like a genuine, the Sugar brand is something bigger than just fighting, you know, merch and I'm doing a lot of sweet stuff. I just bought a house this week for actually a couple of the guys from Twitch that moved down. And they're going to be living in that house. So I'm doing big things, changing people's lives, and it's really fun.
That's crazy, man. I saw a lot of the YouTube content just in prep just to talk to you, and like you going out to Walmart and being like, yo, can you buy this for me? And it's like, no, I'm just kidding. This is for you. Like that kind of stuff, man. Like obviously coming from where you come from in Montana, like I feel like a lot of us have grown up in a position where we haven't had that. Somebody hasn't given us anything like that. And for you to be able to give back to people unknowingly, for them to just be like, oh no, yo, here's an iPad. And you're like, how does that feel for you?
Yeah, that feels good. I'm going to have to shout my boy Juan. That was epic. He got a crazy YouTube channel. So I was shooting with Juan that day and we were doing that for his channel. He's the man. But yeah, being able to give back, like I got my entire family down from Montana. They're living in Arizona. You know, making sure they're settled in and having got them all like Priuses and shit. So
come on, you know, they're that gas is crazy. You know,
those gas prices, right? giving back to my family, just the community and stuff feels really good.
Yeah, that's the part I gravitate to, because I used to sleep outside for like 6 months at a time, and so I know how it is whenever you have to get the courage to get turned down, ask somebody for a dollar, but that. Have the same pride later on to keep going. So to see you do it so naturally, and it's not no, okay, cameras, let's do this. It doesn't seem forced. So that's what I'm a fan of yours.
You know, appreciate that. Yeah, before I moved down to Arizona when I was 18, I was working at a group home multiple group homes, with the one I worked at, there was 8 mentally disabled clients in there, and we'd help them with their daily chores. So I feel like I've always kind of, you know, I was raised by, I had good parents, and, you know, giving back was always something I enjoyed doing. So yeah, like working with those guys and helping them do their daily chores. And it was a full-time 40 hours a week job. And it was fun. I liked it. It was awesome. It was fun. So yeah, I feel like it's me giving back is like a genuinely just something that I enjoy doing.
Yeah, man.
How did working with disabled people change your mentality, right? Like, it must have been totally different from when you got in to when you left, to be like, wow, the world is such a different place than what we're used to.
Yeah, I think I always enjoyed being around those guys. It made it just, they're fun to be around. Like, I enjoy hanging out with them. Like, I'd rather hang out with them rather than, you know, the other people. So it's like, it was just fun. I don't know. They're just good people.
Well, speaking of That's the charitable side. Back to the fight. You know what I mean? About to this ass you about to kick on Saturday. What message you got for his punk behind? You know what I mean? Moving forward. Cut a promo for his ass.
Let's go.
Yeah, it's hard because Pedro is a nice guy. Yeah. I think he's like, you know, I haven't had any run-ins with him. Actually, my last fight, his last fight, we fought on the same card. We were cutting weight right next to each other. I posted a picture on my Instagram of us cutting weight. That's the only time I've ever had any run-ins with him. He just seems like a nice guy. So for me to, you know, it's a fight. It's a big fight, but I don't really have anything mean to say. We have the press conference later today. I'm excited for that. First time I get to stand up next to him. I'm going to tower over him, and it's going to be good. But it's hard for me to not be myself. And I like Pedro, you know. Do I have to beat his ass Saturday? Yeah, but it's part of the game.
Nice.
Co-main event. Alexander Volkanovski, Max Bless Holloway. Who do you got?
Max versus Volk. It's hard. I mean, those two are the best guys in the division. At 45, they could both be considered champs. And I think everyone would agree with that. You could look at those fights and say Max won both of them. Max won the last one if there was three different judges. So curious how that fight is going to play out. One of them needs to get a finish because they're so equally matched that it's going to be another close decision. Who's judging it? That's going to kind of, you know, play a role, but I just don't see either of them finishing each other. They fought for 50 minutes so far. Right. I think I don't really have an official prediction, but you know, it's hard to go against either of them, really. Yeah. Who do you guys think?
I think Max is gonna finally do it. I think that's what I think. You know what I mean?
And it's tough. I just got back from Hawaii too, so like Max is like Mr. Hawaii out there. So like,
I don't know. A parlay with Volk, right?
Yeah, I got it. It's you, it's Volk, and it's Izzy. So I'm kind of already sandwiched in. Those are my picks. But yeah. I just think that if Volk wins, I think he's undisputed featherweight king. I don't know if there's anybody else that can match what he's been able to do in this last run.
Yeah, that's why I think he's going to lose. It never worked that way.
Main event, Izzy versus Jared Cannonier.
It's hard to go against Izzy. Jared trains at the same gym I spar at the MMA lab. So he's, you know, he's a teammate of mine. Good dude. Great. He's just a great guy. It's hard to pick against Izzy considering what Izzy's done. But if anyone's going to be able to upset Izzy, it's going to be Jared Cannonier. Does he get the job done Saturday? I don't know. I'm just going to watch and enjoy as a fan, watch it play out. I really like both of them. So I'm excited to see how that one plays out. Don't really have a prediction.
All right. That's a teammate right there. That's a good teammate, MMA Lab in Arizona. Phoenix, shout out to them. Sugar, thank you so much for giving us some time, man. Like, we're really big fans of what you do. And anytime you're in Miami, you got to come through. We got to do some content together. So
100%.
We appreciate it, man. We appreciate it so much.
Yes, sir. Best finishing move in the game. Come on, hit him with that. You and Derrick Lewis. You know what I mean? Best one in the game. Thank you so much, brother, for joining us, man.
Yep. Tony, Juju, peace out, boys.
Later, bud.
Yes, sir.
That'll do it for another episode of Mystery Crate. Sure, check out the podcast on the Levitard and Friends Podcast Network. Chris Cody, what's on the cinephiles this week?
Let me reiterate, because there was some confusion. We did not get the actor that played Elvis. When we said Elvis joins us, it's not the actor, even though that might have been a better get. We got actual Elvis to break down his film. So if you want to hear from Elvis, the real
posthumously,
guy, you just don't worry about Elvis that part. You got to tune in to find out.
Oh,
Elvis, breaking down Elvis. Walk out, look out now. Just Jack White doing Elvis and Dewey Cox.
Right. Roy, what's on Montgomery Company this week?
All right, we got Erica Ayala.
Look out now.
From Black Rosie Media, and we have Blake Bolden, the pro scout for the Los Angeles Kings and the first ever black woman to be drafted by the NWHL.
Tony, you doing anything for the UFC pay-per-view?
Yeah, we've got a big card for the boys. The MMA Hangout boys are going to be hanging out Saturday night. We also have on our YouTube channel, not only do we have Sugar Sean O'Malley, we're going to have a little breakdown with me and Danny Segura of MMA Junkie, breaking down the 276 card. That'll be on very soon.
Very good stuff, Tony. Getting the UFC covered.
Come on. You know how we do.
And that does it. Well, I guess from my standpoint.
What do you got?
Philly, what do you got? Jess, anything?
South Beach Sessions is off next week. We encourage you to check out our interview from last week with Van Lathan.
Yeah.
And that's all I got in terms of plugs. So
that's it.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Mystery Crate. And we're now rooting for Joey Chestnut and Sugar Sean O'Malley this
weekend.
That's
right.
Goodbye.
Roy, fist me.
Top five plugs.
I mean, you just cut me off when I was saying okay, goodbye. No, okay, goodbye.
Fist him.
Hey, I said okay, goodbye. Let's get out of here.